The following presentation is brought to you by RITA, the Rudyard Institute for Transpersonal Activity, a nonprofit public benefit corporation dedicated to disseminating the work and essential message of Dane Rudyard. All material is copyrighted by Layla Rudyard Hill. If you'd like to learn more about RITA or make a donation towards supporting the ongoing legacy of Dane Rudyard, visit www.rudyardinstitute.org. For the complete selection of free downloads of audio presentations by Dane Rudyard, visit www.rudyardaudioarchives.com. We hope you enjoy the following presentation of the Lunation Cycle by Dane Rudyard. The recording is 43 minutes long.
In astrology, the very fundamental things in astrology is to try to study the structure and unfoldment of any organism, of any whole of existence, any entity which constitute a organized system of activities, and therefore in a broad sense of the term could be called an organism. An organism is born and grow and mature and disintegrate and die, and whether it is a human body or a cell or a social organization which has a certain amount of personality, which has a beginning and a middle and an end, there are certain basic functions which operate through such an organism and which unfold and try to actualize the potentialities which are inherent at birth. At the beginning of any system of organization, everything is more or less potential. There is a set of potentiality which are released. At the biological level, you can speak of a genetic code, but at other levels, you have also the same equivalent type of structure which establish, as it were, the archetype, or maybe the logos, the word in the beginning of that particular entity and the particular cycle of its existence. And everything is contained potentially within that word in the beginning, that logos, but it is there only potentially. And how much of those potentiality will be actualized during a lifetime, that of course is something that no one can tell. Astrology deals with two fundamental type, or three perhaps, fundamental type of symbolism or elements of for that symbolism or the language of astrology, and it deals with the birth chart, which in a sense is like a still picture, an emotion picture. It takes a still picture of the universe at that moment as seen from the point of view of the person being born, achieving a certain degree of individual existence, independent existence. And but the picture go on, the motion picture goes on unfolding, and you have what we call the transits, where if you relate the things that are unfolding after birth to the original moment and the original pattern of the universe at the time of the beginning of that life. That pattern of the universe represents, as it were, the mold into which the life principle is being poured at the moment of first breath, and when the relationship between a entity, an organism, and an open environment, universe is established, and it is that relationship really that astrology is studying. It is the relationship between the individual person and the universe, and therefore from the birth chart you get the sense of the orientation of the individual to the universe, of the part to the whole, because the individual is a part of that great universal whole, and being a part of it, it has a place and a function in it. And the first task of the astrology is to try to find out what the place and function of everything which start a individualized life is, so that he can try to fulfill more consciously the potentiality at its birth. We all more or less naturally and instinctively try to fulfill them. We would, except that we are so involved and pressured by the surrounding, our society, our parents, our schools, our culture, that instead of actualizing our innate individual potentiality, we may very well do nothing of the kind and just merely become replica of a certain cultural type or a family type or an ideal religious type or whatnot, so that we don't live our lives really as individuals, but we live it as a specimen of a particular culture and a particular society. And this, of course, is an unfortunate situation from a spiritual point of view. So that astrology is a way, not the only way by any means, but it is a very basic way to try to understand better who you are, what you are, and how best to fulfill the potentiality of your birth. As I stated definitely in my talk 2 days ago, there is nothing in a birth chart which is wrong, nothing which is good or bad. It is simply what you are. If an acorn is supposed to become an oak tree, there is nothing in the acorn which is superfluous. It all is part of that future pattern of fulfillment which represents the oak tree. But, of course, the acorn may not necessarily produce a beautiful oak because all sorts of things may happen to it. Either there is something wrong with the acorn, there may be a worm in it or something, or there may be something from the exterior which impinge on its growth, a storm, a drought, some animal eating the leaves, a man breaking the branches of the oak, and so on. Now, when you deal with progressions, we are dealing essentially with the unfoldment of the potentiality which are within that acorn, within that birth chart, which is the acorn of our oakness. And this is more an internal process of unfoldment. When you are dealing with transit, by contrast, you are dealing with the pressures of the universe upon you. The universe keeps moving, you see. But you are essentially that things, that pattern, that archetype, which was established at your birth. This is your place and function in the universe. And the transit, therefore, in a sense, represents the pressure of the universe to try to make you something that you are not. That is to say, to change the environment to induce certain pressure on you. Now, some of those pressure may work in the sense as they will tend to strengthen your being, your individual potential. If Saturn moves in the place 30 years later of what it occupied at your birth, then this is a good, wonderful sign, because it means the accentuation of the potentiality which are involved in Saturn. The same is true of any other planet by transit. If, in the contrary, you have a complete opposition of the influence, so-called, or the pressure of the transiting planet to the natal planet, then you have a certain pressure, there is a certain conflict. Conflict which may, on the other hand, be excellent, because it will help you to understand better, in one way or another, happily or unhappily, as you may think it is, but fundamentally fruitfully, if you are able to see it that way, to understand what you really are as a human being, as a potential individual. Now, among those basic functions which are implied in any system of organized activities, you have several levels, as it were, of planetary activity, so-called, the planets representing those basic functions which are found in any organism, even if that organism is a social organism like a big business firm or any large institution. Any organized system of activity has to maintain its essential character. It has to fill itself with contents, with food, as it were, to metabolize it, to assimilate it, to assimilate it, its relationship with its environment. It has to expand to some extent, at least at first, particularly. It has to transform itself and to adapt itself to changing conditions in this environment. So all those things are the basic function, you see, which you find in any organism. And the genius of astrology is that it reduces those basic functions to 10 in number, and that everything which is functional in a human, in an organism, is related to one of those planets, which of course makes it so that astrology is something which in a way is the polar opposite of the scientific method, because the scientific method essentially deals with exclusions of certain categories and which try to find out what the people are in common and move away all the difference and all that. Here in astrology you are dealing with individuals, but inside of those individuals there are those basic functions. And astrology, if you meet it fruitfully, is a method by means of which you can learn to develop your ability to see life as a whole, to see an organism as a whole, and to constantly relate whatever happened within and around this organism to the wholeness of its being, so that nothing is seen as a disparate or an isolated factor, but in terms of the wholeness of the situation. Now, in any living organism, particularly a cell or a human body, a human organism, human person, the very first level of organization is that which deals with the capacity to exist, what we might call the life energies. And as you obviously realize, all the energies which are operating on the surface of the earth, at least as far as we know, are originating from the sun. And therefore, the sun is essentially the basic factor in terms of the type of energy which is available for use in the living organism. It has the relationship between the earth and the sun, therefore represent the different modes of modalities of the type of energies which are available to man at any time during the cycle of the year, which is the cycle between of the relationship between the sun and the earth. Normally, this relationship operates in temperate climates as the seasonal cycle, the spring, summer, fall, winter. And when you deal with the zodiac, or at least the tropical zodiac, which is still the most widely used, you are dealing with the changes in the activity of that relationship between the sun and the earth, the way the sun rays strike the earth, if you want to be scientific about it, or in a more abstract sense, the modes of relationship between the earth as a whole and the sun. Now, this is the foundation, because without that energy you wouldn't have any existence at all. But this is not the only thing, because as I said often, and I mentioned it I think 2 days ago, You can think of the sun as a fuel on which the engine of personality is running. It's the life vital forces in your organism. But speaking of fuel and engine, if you use charcoal or gas or petrol or whatever it is, steam, depending on the fuel that you use, the shape of the engine, of course, must change, and the change the shape of the car also to a large extent. So that essentially, you see, those 12 types of zodiacal being are essentially represent types or categories of human beings who are operating according to 12 different modalities of energies. And that is, of course, the foundation for the popular idea of sun sign astrology. It is basic, but it certainly is not the only thing that matters. Because it's very nice to have a very powerful fuel in your car, but if you are not able to distribute that fuel properly to every part of the engine, and the engine won't work, or it will blow up, or whatever it is. So that the principle of distribution, of course, is very essential. And in other words, in order to grow, in order to function, there must be certain characteristic distribution of energy. And it is the relationship, as it were, of the energy to the need of the total organism at any time. It is that relationship which is symbolized in astrology by the lunation cycle, by the relationship between the moon and the sun. Relationship, of course, which is related to and seen from the point of view of the Earth. In any cycle of relationship from new moon to new moon, or from conjunction of two planets to another, the next conjunction, the third factor is always implied, which is the Earth. That's, you must never forget that. Now, in the lunation cycle, you have therefore the way in which the capacity to adjust to whatever need there is for your survival and your growth, which is represented by the moon, how this capacity is related to the energy itself, which will be used to power this survival. You see. So that it is, we are dealing there with the solely lunar months, which is not a lunar month, as so many people say, but which is solely lunar, because what is involved there is the relationship between the sun and the moon, and not the moon itself. Like when you speak of the phases of the moon, you are saying something which really makes no sense. The moon has no phases. It is the relationship of the moon to the sun which has phases. And those phases are very graphically expressed by the change in the light of the moon and the shape of the moon in the sky. But the moon itself, of course, doesn't change its shape. The same thing applies when you are dealing with Venus and Mercury, which also have phases, and which also represent not the change in Venus or Mercury, but in the relationship between Mercury and the Sun as seen from the point of view of the Earth. Now, this relationship, of course, is a very important thing, because it is on the basis of that capacity to adjust or to adapt to everything and to use, to make use of the solar energy that all life is based. Life and happiness and ease of functioning and everything like that. So you have the cycle of the year, solar, you have the cycle of the months, the solely lunar cycle of about 30 days from new moon to new moon. And then you have the other basic cycle, which is the cycle of the day, which represent in another way the basic orientation of the individual to the solar system as a whole and to the galaxy or all the stars around us. Here you are dealing, as it were, not so much with energy, but you are dealing with consciousness. Because what is implied in the axial rotation of the Earth is changes in the capacity to become aware of the universe. You sleep part of the time, you are awake part of the time, and according to some, the whole Hindu tradition, there are four stages of consciousness, from waking consciousness to the deepest stage of Turiya or Samadhi or whatever it is, which is in a sense pure unconsciousness from our point of view, and which the Hindu considered as the acme of consciousness, but they give to consciousness a meaning which we do not give to in the West. Anyway, during the day we pass through all the possible states of consciousness, and we go from the horizontal position to the vertical position, and all in between, if you seek, if you stamp, if you work and move around and do anything like that, you change constantly your position towards the universe. And you change particularly the axis of the spinal axis of your body, which is, in a sense, the I am axis. It is the foundation of your consciousness, which make man what he is, a vertically oriented being, whereas animals are mostly horizontal oriented being, most of them. So, in that day cycle, which finds its expression in the houses, in the will of the houses, you are dealing with all the possible type of experiences which a man in its development can pass through. And what we call his character, his mind, his individuality, is essentially the result of how he reacts to all those experiences. And therefore the houses, as I see them, are the fields, 12 basic fields of experiences, which are essential for a man to pass through in order to actualize the potential of his birth, and therefore to develop what you call sometimes character or individuality, and in a sense also his destiny, because destiny and individuality are the same thing. Individuality is a kind of space factor pattern of things. Destiny is just simply the unfoldment of that space factor through time. The blueprint of a house is the space factor. This is the individuality of the house. But as if a builder make a plan and schedule of the building operation on this day, that sense that people will come and do that and that, then you are dealing with progression and with the schedule of unfoldment of that potentiality, and therefore you are dealing with the time factor. And the transit would be what may happen outside if you have a strike, if you have rain, if you have an earthquake or anything like that, which would disturb perhaps and transform the pattern, the normal pattern of unfoldment of the potentiality included in the blueprints, you see. So that there, which you have essentially, you see, the three basic factors in astrology, and there is of course a fourth one which I mentioned, and which has to do with the precession of the equinox, but that is a large factor which does not deal with the individual at all, at least not until we are able to live 26,000 years, which is kind of a long time. This has only to do with civilization, with the planet as a whole, with humanity as a whole, humanity being, as it were, the consciousness of the Earth. It is the nervous system, almost the brain of the planet Earth. And the unfortunate thing about our Western civilization is that it has taken mankind away from its relationship to the Earth by pretending that it is a fallen archangel which is coming down to this awful planet in order to, God knows what, expiate some kind of sin nobody knows anything about, or take lessons which are very doubtful, because we seem to learn very little. So, but if we realize that we are part of the earth, that we are a function, that man is a function of the whole planet, just like any kingdom of life is has a certain function, just as the sea and the sea current and the stratospheric currents and the ionosphere and all that has its own functions and so on, then we are reintegrated within the earth. Well, anyway, those are the three basic cycles. And what we are supposed to talk about today is the lunation cycle, which deals with the relationship of the sun and the moon as seen from the earth. Now, there is a big subject, and anyone who really wants to know all what I can say about it, and it's quite a lot, as you see, I'm afraid has to read the book. I'm trying to sell it to you, but nevertheless, I can talk about it for more than a little while. So that, but let me just simply say, for those who are not acquainted with my approach, that when we are dealing with such cycles of relationships, that is to say, the cycle of the relation, the related movements of two celestial objects, which move at different speed, and all objects apparently move at different speed, even though some the speed is so slight, like the fixed star that we so-called fixed star, they are not fixed at all, but that we do not can see their conjunctions and so on. But whenever you have two things like planets moving at different speed, there is a certain cycle which is produced by the series of their conjunctions and oppositions. So you start such a cycle with a conjunction, which in the case of the sun and the moon is the new moon. Then you go to the first square, the waxing square, which we call the first quarter of the moon. Then you go to the full moon, and then and the last quarter, and the new moon again. Now, the first thing I believe to realize is that you are dealing there with two hemicycle or half cycles. There is the cycle between the new moon and the full moon, and the cycle or the half cycle between the full moon and the next new moon, the waxing and the waning half of the lunation cycle. Now, in any cycle of relationship, you can say, and almost in any cycle period, you can say that the first half of the cycle is essentially a period of action, activity. A conjunction is a time when the two body in conjunctions are, as it were, conjunctio in Latin, which is united together in the darkness, especially in the case of the moon and other planets, because they are caught into the radiance of the sun. And symbolically, the new moon represents a moment of fecundation of the moon, the lunar sphere, by the sun. And the whole idea is that during the first half of the lunation cycle, what has been released from the sun into the moon is gradually actualized, grows up like woman after fecundation, rounded up in some way until you have the disk of the full moon, which replicates exactly, almost exactly, the shape and the size of the disk of the sun, which of course is a very extraordinary thing, considering that the sun is very big, the moon very small, and but their distance are also very different. and a nice job of putting the distance in such a way that the size of the disc are the same in spite of the difference in the size is really more than one can very well take out of the beautiful word chance. So that is really one of those striking things that we face on this Earth planet. You don't do that in other planets, of course, if you have several moons, for instance. But here we have one satellite which becomes a complete image of the solar force, so that the solar energy is released through, reflected through that moon directly and fully at the full moon. Which means then that what was subjective at the new moon has become objectivated at the full moon, you see. The full moon, therefore, is the moment of the greatest moment of objectivity, as it were, or vision of the cycle, of the lunation cycle. And that's why in certain groups and in the East to some extent, the full moon was considered as a moment of spiritual descent or illumination, and the dark of the moon was considered very confusing. Of course, in a jungle society, the fact of the moon is full helps people to see where they are going, whereas in the dark of the moon, the danger of going anywhere is far greater even. So that, of course, also has its meaning there in an existential way. But the whole meaning there is that from the first half of the cycle, you are dealing with action, with an impulse. The impulse at first is unconscious. Every cycle starts in unconsciousness. It's a release of energy. There is maybe a glow of energy, like a kind of honeymoon, but the happiness of the typical characteristic of romantic honeymoon, it's certainly not consciousness. It is glamour, but it is not consciousness, which is quite different. But it is only when you have a distance where you can look at the mirror, as it were, and you can look at the relationship itself, then that you are really fully objective to it, you see. But in that moment of illumination or full mooning, then something else should arise, or rather should be focused or descent or polarize. And that is the principle of consciousness, you see. Just because there is full objectivity, there can be that flash, that moment of illumination, of complete awareness and consciousness. And on the basis of that moment of illumination, whether it is very clear or not, then a new half cycle develops in which mind is being formed. Mind, consciousness. Consciousness becomes formed into mind. Mind is a structured type of consciousness, having a certain permanent reality, and functioning also in terms of ideas. But it is a type of functioning which is not at the biological level, but at the psycho-mental level. And so, in the full moon, you have the beginning of that half-cycle of consciousness. First half, waxing moon, action, waning moon, consciousness. Now, this is a very basic thing, as you see. Now, in a human body, for instance, the body grows and develops impulsively. As a child, you grow up full of energy, but you are not aware of that you are growing up. You are not aware of anything, in a sense, as far as the body grows is concerned. You move under impulses, instinct, impulses, emotional things. But supposedly, after the midpoint of life, which can be variously calculated, I believe that in a modern type of humanity, which is definitely, or at least tries definitely to be individualized, so that it can change itself, transform itself, and after having emerged from the matrix of its culture and society and family and so on, I believe that the archetypal span of life for that type of evolution of human being is 84 years, which is the cycle of Uranus, which represents, you see, that very capacity to transform yourself and to metamorphosize yourself. Yes. And so that the midpoint of life is not anymore, in a sense, 35, as it was usually thought of in the past, but now, especially with modern medicine and all that, the full cycle is probably around 84. Now, it doesn't mean that everybody will live to be 84, and you may live longer than 84 also. But you may live when you are already dead, and you may die before because you are not able to actualize the potentiality of inherent in the beginning of your life. So you are dealing with an archetypal measuring, not with an existential fact. You see. So that is the really the first essential thing. That division between the sphere of action, hemisphere or hemicycle of action, or instinct, and that of consciousness and mind development. Now, one of the things which I think should be said, and which unfortunately so few people at all mention, is that logically, from a point of view of actual existence, not the mere geometrical or abstract theory, but from the point of view of concrete existence, the aspect between the sun and the moon, and of course between any two planets which form also cycle of relationship, like Saturn and Jupiter, for instance, and so on. Those aspects are not the same, have not the same meaning, they have not the same contents, if they are part of the first hemicycle or if they are part of the second hemicycle. So that a quarter moon, a first quarter moon, that is to say, square of the sun and the moon and the sun, but with the moon waxing, is different from a waning square when the moon is waning. Did I say it right here? For instance, what you call the crescent moon, which is a day or two or three after the new moon, is very different from the decrescent moon, which is also differently oriented in the sky, and which is two or three days before the next new moon. A period which I speak of as the balsamic moon is an old alchemical term which was convenient to use. Now this is something which, from my point of view, it's a very important thing, but the things which, as I say, practically no astrologer take in consideration. There is a vague relationship mentioned often of forming and separating aspect when you are close to a conjunction, particularly, or even some other aspect. But the things which is important particularly is interpreting the aspect in terms of what place they occupy within the whole cycle of relationship between the two planets in aspects, you see. Now, astrology, as I see it, always deal with whole cycles, and essentially. And therefore, you see, it is quite important to realize that if, for instance, you want to understand a first square of Jupiter and Saturn, let us say, and of course of the Sun and the Moon, it is, I believe, very important that you should think in your mind and refer to the preceding conjunction. Because, you see, astrology, as Marc Zorn says, is the science of all beginnings. It starts it deals with the, or I rather call it the seed moments of existence. Yes. And everything which is implied in astrology deals with what is contained in structure in the seed moment, which is the logos, the word that is in the beginning the world and so on. So that if you are dealing with an aspect of the moon and the sun, then look back to the previous conjunction, because there you see the fountainhead of the type of energy which was in the world around you, in the biosphere, at the time you were born. And if you read that lunation cycle book of mine, you will find that I mention quite at length the new moon before the birth. Because you are born, you see, inside, within this complete cycle between one new moon and the next new moon. And therefore, the type of vitality and the type of soli-lunar relationship which is exemplified in your organism are the source, as it were, in the preceding new moon. So that you can get there sometimes a very revealing factor. Especially, you have two cases where the preceding new moon was in the same sign as your birth sign, sun sign, or in another preceding sign, you see. And that too can create a different foundation to your existence. One, in a case you have an emphasis on one zodiacal sign, in some cases there is a kind of duality inherent. One thing which I guess, as far as I know, I have been the first to study, is what I call the lunation birthday. That is to say, what you speak of usually as a birthday is at the time of the year cycle at which you were born. But you have also a time in the lunation cycle which repeats itself every month and which represents your lunation birthday, you see. And that is not the lunar return. It is not the time where the moon goes back to its original place, which I think is relatively, theoretically at least, doesn't seem to me too important. But the time at which every month the sun and the moon find themselves in exactly the same relationship that they had at birth, that I think is a very important thing, you see. Now, if you want to be fancy, you can say that every day you have also a day, birthday, the moment of the day in which you were born, and the position of the sun in relation to your ascendant. Now, all those things, you see, are based on very simple principle, which, if you apply them intelligently and all that, will bring a very great deal of fruit in terms of a bigger and larger understanding of what you are talking about. I see that I have talked a great deal already.
This is the end of The Lunation Cycle by Dane Rudger. The preceding audio is copyrighted by Leila Rudger Hill and was brought to you by Rita, the Rudger Institute for Transpersonal Activity. Learn more about Rita or contribute to the ongoing legacy of Dane Rudger at www.rudgerinstitute.org. For the complete selection of free downloads of audio presentations by Dane Rudger, visit www.rudgeraudioarchives.com.